We are live.
Welcome back. We are back now. Welcome back, OG. We're back with Peter. Peter is going to introduce Symbiosfera. And I feel how there is so much meaningful project around the globe and giving space to what is already there and connecting what is already there. I feel it's something very precious, and I'm very happy to have Peter introducing that project, the platform.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, just jump in there. First, thank you very much for giving the opportunity. It's a really nice platform to talk to this. I was there, I think it was 3 years ago in Hamburg. Mm. I was there as a DJ, and I was really just blown away by the whole structure of the gathering.
Mm.
And had one of my best DJ experiences there. It was a circular sound system. There was all function one, and there was no behind the DJ booth was just as nice as in front, and it was just this really nice feeling of being in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and had a really beautiful experience, and good sound. It was, you could tell people were taking care. But and here we are in the virtual sphere. And I think you were in CCC as well. This is Beat, who we also do Symbiosfera with. And you were in CCC last year as well.
Yes. It was really nice in Leipzig. We did also a little mini performance there with a headphone experience. And I enjoyed a lot the CCC. And I'm happy that it can take part this year in another way, but really interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Symbiosfera. Maybe I give a little introduction about how it came about, like the genesis of how the idea came. And it was from many different things kind of over the years, but one moment in my life that I realized that there was one moment that I really felt a need for this platform was when it was like 2 years ago, just after my, or 2.5 years ago, just after my daughter was born. And usually I go to Brazil. We have a project in Brazil. You can see here on the map, it's this project here, Bulboza Sapucaia. And we have this project where we do reforestation and music. And after my daughter was born, usually we go there every year, spend half the year there and working on the land and working on music there. But after my daughter was born, it just felt really far to go across the Atlantic with a 3-year-old daughter. And so it was the first time I actually looked at Europe and thought, okay, where is good to go in Europe when you want to just be in nature and you want to also work with music and somehow avoid get out a little bit of the city and get into nature. So I was looking at all these different platforms that existed, like permaculture or ecovillage. It's like ecovillage.com, I think, or .org. It's like a nice platform like this where you can see all the different hotspots of different places. And there's like eurogen.org as well, which is another platform for ecovillages and different projects. But somehow, I was going just sprawling Europe and just trying to find something that was like that I could connect with and kind of know that would be a good place to bring my family and to kind of spend a few months and help out with the land, and also maybe connect with some musicians there and make music. And I just found it just by going on these platforms that it was just very, very difficult to get any kind of feeling about how it would be there. Because all these places are really focused on the permaculture and they're very focused on the results of the farming, which is great. But on the cultural level, there was very little I could get as a kind of feedback about how, if we go there, okay, maybe just going there, you can try out. But it was just yeah, it wasn't very intuitive way. And I've tried many different places, talked to different people, and of course, connections are always the best way. Like if you know someone who knows someone, it's always the best way for connections. But virtually, like traveling and connecting with Europe, I just found it so difficult as a musician, but just as, yeah, like culturally as well. And there's so many nice things happening in these projects, and many of these places have musicians. And anytime I do go to eco villages or like any kind of projects, there's always a studio. Like here, like we're here, we're in Dijon, just outside Dijon at the Anwesend. And it's like they do permaculture and they do music as well. And they have a music studio and a little permaculture garden in the summer. And yeah, and some of these places, just unless you have a connection, then you just have, there's no way to know that these places exist. So yeah, so I kind of felt that, like, since music was always the kind of big attractor, and that it would be amazing if there was a platform wherever there was kind of environmental projects like reforestation, permaculture, regenerative farming, and wherever there was some kind of link musically, like whether it be a music studio or a festival. Like there's a lot of nice festivals that are on farms, that take place on farms. But wherever there's a kind of symbiosis between the kind of music and the environmental aspect, and just somehow kind of plot, find out what's out there and plot them on a map, and then just kind of make it very visible and very transparent for people who are traveling to connect. But that's kind of how the idea started, and to like kind of make this very clear, just a little network, like a roadmap of different projects that exist. So I can just give you a little run through of the different projects. So we decided it's good just to focus on what we know, and not to kind of obviously to like connections that we actually have and connections from different friends, and to grow it slowly and not just kind of sprawl the internet for places that exist, but really just to make like build connections slowly. So we have like this place where we are now. It's Eingang Clan. Currently it's in a castle, but actually it will be moved to Dijon eventually. We have like friends in Norway who are doing honey, like biodynamic honey, and they also do artist residency with music where I just was actually I spent the last 3 months in Norway connecting there. And yeah, there are different places. There's like Love Foundation who have a label and they raise money. They have many different hubs around the world, and then 50% of the money that they go to goes towards these environmental projects and social projects. And you can see our project here in Brazil as well, which is kind of a good example of like this idea of what a project could be. Where 50% of donations go towards the music studio. So we have a music studio on one land, and on the other studio we concentrate on the reforestation. So we have a music label, and whenever people donate towards the label, 50% will go towards the label and the upkeep of the label and the artist, and the other 50% will go towards the reforestation and the permaculture project, and also the kind of social aspect of it, the kind of creating a cultural center in the village with the locals, and creating kind of awareness there. And this was kind of like a kind of a really inspired, like when we created this project, I realized there was no platform available online to actually really where I could live and be exposed to the world, and people really understand this. So I kind of, also this kind of whole platform was kind of a way to create another platform for this project so they could connect with other like similar projects online. And I also like to have this like kind of symbiosis. Maybe I can go into this about section here quickly. So I just did this recently, the kind of, and just a little note that you can see here, it says beta. So like we made it with Beat and myself and a few others of friends of Luana and Bruce and a few others, Julius. We've just been building this ourselves, but like none of us are really like so much experience in building websites, and like we're mostly musicians and audiovisual artists, and this is not really, but this is kind of a vision we had, and we just taught this to make a kind of first try or template, just to eventually to kind of progress it and evolve it into something a bit more professional, a bit more functional, fluid. But for the moment, we have like, yeah, we kind of got it as far as we can get. But yeah, just to give you an idea of the how it works, a little run through. So this is just like an example. It was using the project in Brazil. So like all locations on the map are environmental projects that work with regenerative farming, permaculture, or reforestation. And then, each land project on the map is in symbiosis with a music project that directly supports the initiative through their label releases or fundraising events. So there's a kind of like a symbiosis between the two, that wherever in the world there is really symbiosis between this kind of work and, yeah, and music in general, that to kind of to give it a platform and to kind of amplify it and make it visible in the world. And so the idea developed from the just being a map, but then to kind of it evolved to being a kind of a radio station. So like you can, it's a little bit glitchy here. 1 second. Yeah, there we go. So just say you're looking for a project initially, like you're looking for a project in the world, maybe nearby or that you want to connect with. So you find a project in your area. Then the idea, like the function isn't there yet, but eventually it would like to click on this, on the icon, on the symbol. And then once you, when you press on it, it will just play on the radio music from that project. So then like you can hear straight away what music is being like coming out of this project and what's in connection with it. And so you can just check, you can get a really direct sense of what the project is just musically. And for me, I've always really believed strongly that the music is the most direct form of communication. And that if you hear a song that you like, you just instantly connect with it and you don't even, you just trust it. You trust when you hear good music that it comes from a good place. So this is kind of the idea that you connect with the music, to the project, to the music. If you like it, then you can visit the website, discover the project, and become a supporter of the project, like by collaborating, by volunteering, maybe go just visiting the place, or otherwise just donating towards the music and like kind of supporting the music, the project as much as the music. And you know where your money goes to, you know, and you don't just like, this is another kind of important central point of the platform, is to kind of cut out the middleman. And to, instead of like paying for a Spotify subscription and you don't really know where your money goes, or paying for like downloading music, or just, yeah, these different subscription, like the way the music industry works at the moment, there's no connection to where the music comes from. You just see like an algorithm and you get fed music and you have no idea where it comes from. You know, have no idea where your money goes to. There's this big middleman who's the music industry machine, the Spotify's and the iTunes and the Amazons of this world. And they're like, and every time we just listen to music this way, we're just like supporting this machine, this capitalist machine that already exists, kind of like, yeah, indirectly. And so the idea with this project is that when you donate towards these projects, you know exactly where your money goes, and you know exactly that you're, and you really want to, it's really like about creating like a kind of a collaboration and a kind of a supporting like patron relationship between the music, the musician, the music, the studio, the listener, and the place that it was created, and the place that it wants to support, and the place that it wants to nourish. And yeah, so it's like, yeah, so this was really like the backbone of the radio, the kind of the radio, like, even if you don't know where you want to go, you just like, you can put on this like shuffle function on the radio. There's a shuffle here. I mean, the radio here hasn't gotten to where we want it to be. This is a very primitive version of the radio, but it's something. But yeah, you just shuffle the radio and leave it in the background and just play it like a radio. And then as soon as you hear a track that you like, you go, ah, where is this track from? And then you just check out the project that it's connected with. And then it's like a really nice way just to connect with something physically and the land and where it comes from, and create like authentic connections and somehow make it a kind of a grounded experience. So like the kind of catchphrase is like, yeah, like love the music, support the environment it wishes to nurture. And this is, for me, is a kind of a real, another kind of central topic that I feel that like the last 50 years or so, or since the internet, we've had this like migration towards the virtual sphere. Like now we're meeting virtually, and everything has become more virtual. Everything is like become online, streaming and physical. Like is obviously like things like CDs and vinyl is a lot less, and everything is existing in this virtual sphere. So we're exchanging virtually, we're living virtually, and we're creating virtually as well. And somehow this is a very necessary and amazing step for human development, and such a beautiful thing to explore. But also in doing so, we lost our connection with the ground, and we lost our connection with the earth. And so this is a way to kind of complete the cycle. And I kind of call it trans-virtual, is we're kind of like transcending the virtual and bringing back the, like a kind of a fractal recursion, bringing back the earth and connecting back with the earth again. And to kind of just, yeah, kind of grounding the virtual musical community. Because for the moment, just everything exists online, everything exists in Bandcamp, our money is virtual, our economics is virtual. So when we can, and it's such an amazing platform to live virtually, but if we can actually use this to actually directly support the land, then it completes the cycle, and it becomes grounded, and it becomes, the energy transfer is direct. Can you hear me okay? Just a check. Yeah. Okay, cool. It's like completing the cycle, having direct energy transfer. I think up until now, we've had a lot of like energy, misspent energy, like just doing transfers online. If you want to do a transfer to somebody else, like PayPal, for example, takes a cut, and there's a cut from wherever. And there's a lot of energy being kind of misspent or kind of wasted. And I think real, like when we talk of permaculture or sustainability or whatever, I think that starts by this direct energy and not just this scattered energy that gets dispersed on virtually and dispersed in different bank accounts and to different middlemen. And so I really feel that it's like to really nurture a kind of new model for a music community, and not just a music industry, is to really connect back with the land that inspires it, and to kind of complete this feedback. And so I call this kind of regenerative music culture, where we're kind of regenerating this music culture from the ground up and regrowing it again. And but obviously using a virtual platform to do this, so it's kind of completing the cycle. I have a lot more to say, but I'll go down and see if I get it. Yeah, so this was, key points here. I'll just go through them slowly. Expanding the symbiotic link between musical expression and local environment. Establishing like these havens for music lovers and nomadic artists, and like a new way to travel. Yeah, so this was the other point I was kind of touching on with the grounding of the music community, is that up until now, we've, like in the last 30 years of jet set travel, like the Ryanairs and the Easy Jets of this way of like, we created this model that the music industry was created by, like, or sustained by being able to take these like flights. So we could like go to Ibiza and people could spend a summer there and then fly back and then go to Berlin and then get their culture shot just by taking these like cheap flights. And we've all built these like kind of like luxurious lives around these like cheap flights. And even me with this project in Brazil, like up until 2 years ago, it seemed very easy just to travel back and forth with a plane. And now it just doesn't seem so realistic anymore to navigate in this way anymore. And by having all these flights, we kind of lost our connection with the land. And if we think back to like thousands of years or hundreds of years ago, if we think back to like the old Silk Roads of our time, where people would travel from Europe and they would travel all the way to Asia on the Silk Road, and like bring back spices and different goods. And but along the way, they would exchange culture. They would there'd be different like halfway houses, different stepping stones along the way, where little hubs, like cultural hubs, would grow, and there'd be like little communities would grow just because it was on a trade route, on a kind of an exchange route. And like over time, with the advance of technology of transport with flights, all these places just died because everyone was flying over them, and no one was connecting with the land anymore. So but now, of course, with Corona and flying not being so cool, ecologically as well, with the carbon footprint, flying is kind of not really so attractive, and not for many people. People are seeing that it's just not really viable as a way of building a kind of social life, social cultural life around. So I really feel that the next years, like the post-corona years, post-pandemic years, will be really like culturally connecting back with the land, connecting back with the local environment, obviously, but also just like seeing what's around and traveling more overland, by railway or by car or however. So yeah, kind of like, the map, I kind of had this like idea that like maybe this semisphere could also be a kind of a platform for creating these exchange ways, these pathways or Silk Roads of the future. And the kind of, like, for example, we're in France now, where I spent a lot of time, and like we're here. And this year I went up to Norway to visit some friends here, and then I came back down and visit some friends here, and each place having a place to stop off in a different community and exchanging some music and exchanging some like techniques of permaculture techniques, and like there's a lot of people who naturally go from Germany and the north of Europe in the winter because it's so cold. They naturally do this like little route all the way down to Spain or to Portugal. There's a lot of people passing through here where we are in France, because it's kind of like a halfway house between the two. So there's a lot of people passing through constantly up and down. And I thought it could be really nice to like create this like a little roadway map where you can see all these different like natural routes where you can connect with different communities along the way. And that would be attractive to like musicians as much as like people who are interested in permaculture or regenerative farming. And because when we think about like cities at the moment, everyone there was a big urban sprawl after the Industrial Revolution and towards the cities, because there was work and there was excitement of culture people just like started clustering around the cities because of this. And obviously all the farms and the rural areas, all the young people left and got abandoned. And this is a global thing. Everywhere around the world it's like this. And but now with Corona, like, people are really understanding that being in rural areas actually is actually quite nice, especially in these times. And that's, but the one thing that's always lacking is the culture. And it is like, there are some like festivals that happen in the nature, but like, it's hard to find culture in the rural areas or unless you create it. And so this was kind of a way to kind of, but a lot of people are coming back to these projects. A lot of people are searching these different projects and eco-villages. And if people can like instantly connect with them by music and bring culture there, like kind of exchange, maybe people could go there and as a musician just like do like a little like kind of event or exchange some knowledge of music, but at the same time work on the farm a little bit and not pay anything, like have like a kind of exchange without any kind of like exchange of money, and just go from one project to the next, exchanging music, exchanging seeds, exchanging knowledge of farming techniques, and to kind of create a new culture around this of exchange. And I think it's kind of happening already. It's just that for a lot of people, it's not really accessible unless you're like really into it, really connected with it. So this map was kind of also like a way to make it very visible and make it very clear. And for people who are into music just as much as people who are into to farming, and just as much as people are into nature or traveling in general. Instead of paying for like Airbnb hostels in nature, what's the point when you have so many amazing communities around the world that put you up for free if you have just something to exchange or some kind of, or willing to kind of work a little bit? And yeah, so this kind of brings back to the idea of like regrounding the kind of musical community to like bring regenerative music culture and regenerative agriculture, like fusing it together. Yeah, and kind of what I call like reactivating the rural sprawl. Like now we've had the urban sprawl, and I think now it's like we can have a rural sprawl as well and make kind of the... But yeah, that's the kind of... there's more there, and I kind of... I've been talking a lot. But I'm very curious to kind of hear what everyone else... to connect with you guys and hear what you, your impressions are of it. Maybe I'll stop sharing my screen now.
No, don't. Yeah, don't.
Very powerful storytelling, Peter.
Amazing. I remember, I think I was with you, Otto, that night too, when we met him, no? I was with Jakob.
Yeah, we were all together in this night.
So we were dancing in this club, and I was... I was really excited to meet you live because I just got to know you through SoundCloud and the CCC the year before. And I was excited that you were embarking on this project. I remember like, was like two, three years ago. Did you first add this idea? I remember.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's exciting because, you know, I can tell you a lot of stories, for instance, in the south of Italy, where music and food and regeneration and staying together normally in rural environment, but not only in rural environment, are really the three essential elements for weaving very wide ecosystems of people. And so I would really love to see more south of Italy, well, Italy in general, dots in that map soon.
Yeah.
I hope we can maybe make it happen. But I can tell you a story. So in Apulia, there is one of the largest production of tomato in Italy. Italy is one of the largest importer of tomato and larger exporter of tomato, which is a lot of tomato the whole year. Which is a funny thing to, I mean, a kind of silly really thing to see, because it's like, can you just eat it when it's the right season? Mm-hmm. And that's it. So the problem with tomato production is that a lot of people from Africa, from migrant routes, they get trapped into this into the south of Italy working in extremely marginalized communities at very cheap labor price. So they get, I think, €5 per day to pick tomato in the middle of August, in the middle of July. They have to travel to get there to the actual field. It's all managed by mafia. It's all managed by the local organized crime, and everybody knows it. You know, there are reports on major journals, and everybody knows it. Europe knows. Everybody knows it. Yes. Those are the tomatoes you find in your pizza. Those are the tomatoes that you buy at the supermarket if you buy tomato from Italy in a can. Of course, Italy, this example, it's not the only one. This, the problem with agriculture and intensive agriculture is a problem that exists, I think, all over the world at the moment. But what is happening there still, sadly, is that every summer you have this, basically this concentration camp of people from all over Africa mostly, and from Central Africa especially, that get amassed in this concentration camp. And then during the day they go to pick up tomatoes. And they're extremely disconnected with whatever else is around.
Yeah.
So along this... very sad story. A very happy story happened is that a couple of friends of mine, they decided one night to get their van and go with a Senegalian musician friend of them, which maybe you know, it's Baba Sissoko.
Okay.
I don't know if it rings a bell. No, it's really good music.
Yeah.
And they went in the middle of the night in one of this concentration camp, and they started to do a party, like a rave, with these people.
Nice.
So out of this night, a very cool project started called Funky Tomato, which probably is not I think it's also a funny brand, because Funky Tomato can mean so many things, where the president is actually one of these people. You can pre-buy the tomato if you want to support the production of the next year. But it's tomato that is grown and picked and produced and distributed in a way that is not only fair for the people that actually pick up these tomatoes, but that they're also the way it gets branded, the way it's connected with the end consumers, ultimately. And it's not that more expensive than the one you buy in the shop. Of course, it's not super cheap, but it's like, you know, it's a bit more expensive. And it's extremely good tomato, by the way. So I always love to see this kind of projects that connects music, food, and people, because are really the three essential elements. You can make anything out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a recipe for life.
Yeah.
Like, music is energy, food is energy. I don't know what else is energy, but what we connect with as energy, it's like really the fundament. And like, just like you said, like if we have like direct energy exchange between this and create these little connections between these like little cycles or little networks between them, that's where the magic happens. And that's where like it's fun. And yeah, it's not just business, but it's life. And I think that's kind of, as well, like you said, what Symbiose Fair is about. It's about creating like a foundation for like good living, enjoying and celebrating. And that's another thing we was talking about yesterday, about like, there's a lot of amazing permaculture projects and a lot of projects and a lot of them are very serious. You know, they're very seriously putting their all their heart and soul into like making sure that, because it takes a lot of work to make it work, because it's so tough to do it these days, like without like pesticides and doing things well, because it's just because the whole society is not built around that. So you have to really like go against the grain somehow, and it's a lot of work. And so sometimes we arrive to these places and they're so busy and it's so serious that there isn't much time to enjoy, you know, and time to celebrate. And what's really like, what's so important in life is to celebrate what you do, to celebrate your hard work, and to celebrate, like to have these moments where you can really just let loose and let go and relax and to kind of celebrate together what you were doing. And it creates so much energy as well to celebrate. And in these places that I've visited, there's no room, or there's no like everyone there are super into the farming, that there's no, and everyone who's music, who's cultural, like not cultural, but anyone who's who are musicians, they all went to the city to get work, and there's no artists living there. And not always the case, but it's just, yeah, like you said, if there's this like connection between the celebrating and what you're doing, it just becomes life and not just like working.
Totally. And it's also first, before continuing, I want to welcome our friend Saraswati, which is joining in this amazing call from where are you?
I'm in Jakarta.
Jakarta, wow, that's so cool.
I did have a question, actually, but not if I'm interrupting. So whenever a moment comes,
please,
if I can. Yeah?
Jump in there.
I really love your project, and I'm so grateful for the space to talk about the challenges when it comes to Solarpunk 2077, because like, it's true, we're sort of seeing this revisioning of the world, like with permaculture, with how music fits in, to a regenerative culture, and to like this, like to how we kind of are replacing a lot, and like placemaking is so fundamental to what you're talking about too. Like, how do we create place with culture? And it's kind of interesting to me, because when I think about the challenges of like that you're speaking to, which is, you know, like musicians traveling around the world, and like, you know, like if if someone was like, oh, Peter Power is playing, you know, here, like, I'm going to be like, cool, maybe I'll go there, you know, because like, what, because it sounds dope. And I guess like, it makes me think about hierarchy in a way, and how maybe like, you know, we really like decentralizing music in a way, because right now, like, the reason I would do that is because like, we, you know, certain musicians, we just think of them as the best. And there's like this idea that, you know, like, we need to be where they are, because you can't find anything as good around you. And maybe it's in part because we're not really accustomed to being musical ourselves. Yeah. And celebrating, like you're saying, like kind of like bringing play and celebration as fundamental aspects of our local lives. And so instead we go to it, right? And like, or we wait for it to come to us. And I'm curious, it sounds like, you know, I'm curious about like tactics for that, you know, like the decentralization of like musical expertise, or like, there's a social theory, you know, called social ecology, where I talk about how like the shaman, for example, is the like the origin hierarchy. And like when we create hierarchy, we begin to displace ourselves. And I'm curious about like how that kind of fits in. I know this is maybe less of a question, more of like an open thought. Yeah, it sounds like those are the things that are being woven, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on it, I guess.
But yeah, like, you touched on a good point about like really decentralizing the kind of music community. And yeah, up until now, like the kind of the whole last 2,000 years has been like this kind of creation of the individual, and and putting the individual on a pedestal. Like if you were like in classical music, for example, if you need to train for like 10 years to be a musician before you actually can be heard. And then like, and only the best musicians get put on stage. And there's this kind of like, refining what it is as a musician, and only the best can be heard. And in Europe, this is so strong, putting the musician on a pedestal. But whereas if you go to Brazil, like first time I went to Brazil or Uganda, it was just such a breath of fresh air. Just to go like if you go to Brazil and you just sit on any street walk, like on any kind of street curb, with a guitar and just start playing, within 5 minutes, someone will come along and just start like drumming under, like clapping their hands or like singing or like just people just feel so part of the music. There's no like, okay, you're a musician and you're, and everyone just loves to hear it and feels completely like free to join. And I think this is, what I've always felt strongly as a DJ, like you mentioned this about shamanism. I started to feel really uncomfortable the last years about being a DJ. And I didn't enjoy, like I made a post about it a few years, and actually that was kind of also the kind of start of thinking about Symbiosphere, was that I just don't enjoy being on a stage to people and playing and like having all this responsibility to kind of create a vibe. You know, like three or four people get in a big party are like given the responsibility to like create the vibe, to like, I mean, like just creative, but like, of course, there's feedbacking from the people as well. But if you think about how it was before, people would just like have a fire and dance around in a circle, and there was no like, everyone did it together and everyone felt empowered together. And I felt really feel that like these days, it's just consumerism. It's just, you go to a party because you want to consume the music, and the whole like festival concept is built around this, that like the music that has the most people is the music that can sell the most alcohol and kind of sell the highest price tickets. That's what succeeds. And that's what, like, that's the benchmark for culture, is like, what can sell the most music, sell the most tickets. And like, and also if you make a big sound system, you just blow people out of it, then you can get even more people. And then you can like have like, so like the more compression, the more you can blast people out of it, the more you can create the more you can sell drinks. And like, this is the whole concept of music culture, of festivals, and there isn't much room for subtlety, there isn't much room for connection, like subtle connection, and there isn't much room for ambient music, for example. If like Beat, who's doing Eigenklang, he does like, they do this like headphone concept, where maybe you can talk a little bit better.
Yes, it's also aiming to make it possible for people to participate into the music. And so there's a binaural microphone in the center. I don't know if you had the chance to do it last year on the CCC. And there's many people. We play with 40 people with wireless headphones connected to this sound from this one binaural microphones. And then we have some loop machines and some live setup where the sound that everyone hears goes through. So all the people can, if they feel an impulse or feel touched by, I don't know, a rhythm or something, they can participate into the sound. And yeah, it's more in a collective experience kind of.
Yeah, completely takes away the like the performer and people. Like, you have 40 headphones, so everyone comes in with, into the space and they don't really know what's going on. They can hear music, and it's and the closer you get to the microphone, the louder it becomes, like you, the louder the sound becomes from but the listener doesn't know if like what's going on, and slowly they realize that they're part of the sound, they're part of the music. And if they sing close to the microphone, everyone hears it. And wow. So many people who are musicians, just who are so used to being consumers and listeners, feel so empowered just to be able to like express themselves. And the people who are always singing are the people who've never sang before.
Yeah,
like those are the people who are really like are the people. Yeah, the people who are really going for it are the people that like never had this chance before because they've always thought that they weren't musicians or whatever. And this is like, and it's such a quiet thing because everyone's really listening, and it's just one microphone in the center of the space. And Beat was with Eigenklang, like this where we are now, this community where we are now is kind of the hub for Eigenklang at the moment.
Yeah.
And like they were touring in festivals around Europe, and it was always so hard to like compete with the big sound systems.
Yeah.
Because there's no space for ambience. In a musical context, in terms of gatherings, because you're always competing with this like boom, boom, boom,
yeah, and it's like no space for environmental or sounds around you,
yeah,
like birds
or like generative, right? Yeah, that's interesting.
So, like, I really feel like the festival system is just people come and they get blasted out of it, and they work hard. They work 9 to 5. They work hard. And they just want to be blasted out of it.
Party hard.
Yeah. Work hard, play hard. And they just want to be blasted out of it and kind of just like drink a lot maybe and just kind of block out the environment that they're in, because it's not a very kind of, instead of celebrating the environment. And for me, celebrating the environment is like playing music quietly and having the bird song as part of the atmosphere. And with this kind of Eigenklang setup, it was the first time I really saw it in musical culture. Like, wow, this is like really a different paradigm, like a new paradigm of how music can be, and like the bird, like you can really hear birds in while you're like singing or playing guitar or even playing beats. It becomes part of the music.
Mm.
I really feel like shifting this awareness, because the more you do it, the more like if you go out the weekend and you just get blasted out of it all weekend, you just carry this onto the midweek and this becomes part of your like routine or mental stream. And people wear like noise cancellation headphones in the street because they don't want to hear the sound of cars or, and just always blocking out the environment.
Mm.
And nothing against noise cancellation headphones, that they have their purpose, but I really feel that we've lost this ability to tune into nature and to tune into silence.
Silence
is very uncomfortable for a lot of people.
It's funny, yeah. I was like talking to a shaman recently, and she was saying that in the tradition that she learned in Brazil, that the community was the shaman and that she wasn't. And I think it's really interesting because I feel like you're taking it a step further and you're like, the ecology is the shaman, or at least that's where I'm like kind of hearing it. It's like the whole of the world is the shaman, or like, because I think the musician is typically the one, like you're saying, setting the vibe. And I feel like that's the role of the shaman actually, is like to basically hold the container. And so it's like, kind of interesting, because if the community is the shaman or the ecology is the shaman, then the container gets much bigger. But it's super interesting to play with. Thank you.
Yeah, and I really like this, like for me, this whole like new era, this new age of Aquarius, whatever that may be, like for me, it's really about this thing of interbeing and not just like stepping out of the human community idea that like we're humans and there's nature and moving towards this idea of like expanding the compass of of what community is, to like incorporating like all living beings, incorporating the animal kingdom, incorporating the plant life. And I really feel this new era is this new connection with like relating to plants and fungus and virus and bacteria and animals as a kind of just other like equal beings and like equal rights for these beings. And this is where we feel the way it's going, and
give Corona rights.
yeah, exactly.
Let her live.
but understanding what it is that is because like.
It's also interesting that it's like, oh sorry, keep going.
No, please.
No, nothing.
It was a joke. But like,
I'm
putting
it
in
like,
an idea. I want
to share with you this idea that this awareness that the full vibe is created by really everything is the source where the music is coming, the other people joining, the ecosystem where you are, the sounds coming from the sea or the wind on the tree or the birds, and the preciousness of this combination, of this melting of the everything arriving to his hearing and often just reverberating with it and recreating this, amplifying this vibe. When before in the conversation it was mentioned how sometimes the border between who is playing and who is listening, and in general who is just participating without the need of splitting who is playing and who is listening. This makes me think how the context where often music is being played is adding so much to the full experience of who is there. And came to my mind how I visited some communities where some nourishing, beautiful music was happening there. And happening also supported by what was around the forest or the specific situation where it was happening. And I was imagining the map that you showed us before, and imagining during a journey or while passing in a new area where I don't know, and start tasting and start sensing the different sounds coming from that area, and having the possibility to connect with that was very was tasty as an idea. And I was thinking how there is also the sounds coming from the ecosystem in itself, and this is something very precious as well. I imagine in the sounds from the Amazon, the birds from the whole orchestra of beings playing, and how that maybe can find a place on this map as well. How certain communities or eco-villages living in a very close contact with this natural orchestra playing all the time. Maybe appear there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
ambient places.
Yeah. Well, there is a very similar map to what you're describing. It's called audiomappa.org. I think you should put me onto this.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's field recordings on a map from all around the world. And you can just like click, I can even show it to you quickly. We just do a new tab, audio mapper. But it's really beautiful site. Think.org, I can't remember. Yeah, here we go. So this is what you're describing, more or less. Like you have like all these are Creative Commons free to download soundscapes around the world. So you go anywhere and you can just, I don't know if you can hear that, but you can download it and you can play it and oh, there we go. Can you hear that?
Yeah,
we hear it. Yeah,
yeah. This is a really amazing website. I've been like for like.
Is that real? Like, is that live? Is that recorded?
No, it's not live. Someone's recorded with a recorder and uploaded it.
Live.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't think it was live.
They're too advanced, Sarah.
Yeah. Could be live.
Wow.
But yeah, this is like, this is yeah, a really amazing site. And I think more of this kind of stuff where people can really connect with the environment is happening in this year of Corona, where everyone's just staying at home. There's not so much traffic on the road, so you can get much better field recordings. People are connecting with what's around them. And yeah, like somehow like having the quiet, like having this quietness, and having people realize this year that they finally had a chance to like have peace and like bring down the like this constant hyperstimulation of everything of everything, to like tune into the subtler sounds like bird sounds and tune into these subtler musical sounds.
I see how often I would visit a community or a village, just starting from the sound that this where this place is laying. That will be already something.
Yeah.
Even
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. You could hear like, you could incorporate this audio map, but maybe like just like feed it into this map as well. Maybe you could work together and you could just hear like a, that'd be a nice idea, actually. Yeah, it's a nice idea. Yeah, the beauty of this map is there's so many ways it can grow, and so many different ways it can like, kind of like different dimensions it can be communicated on, for just not just for artists, for travelers, for like musical collectors, whatever.
Yeah, what are you saying? I really love the idea of seeing a map. Finally, I was so happy to see a map showing something already existing, or something that potentially is being created through the connection that having something represented graphically.
Yeah. And
because I'm seeing so many lovely and beautiful projects, and so many of them that are, some are very small, and I, at the same time, me or many other friends that I know, they would connect with them if they would be aware that they exist. So I welcome a lot showing what for someone is invisible, just making it visible on a map.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Making it like a, yeah. And making it easy to connect with culture and at a sense, yeah, and traveling and, yeah. But I would like to put it out there that like, we started this project almost a year and a half ago now, and like it's like as people like as we're, because we're not really like web designers or web builders or page builders. And I know this is a really nice platform for a lot of like different like whoever's listening out there or anyone like, I don't know, but like really felt like this, that we got it as far as we can take it, but I just don't have the expertise to really like take it to where it really our team doesn't really have the expertise to take it to the next level, like in terms of function and
fun also.
And and fun, so, and make it much more intuitive and like create like a kind of like a, like ideally it would be like a login system where you could log in, you could post events, post festivals, create your own projects, like create your own dot on the map, and of course there would be some kind of
curation
or administration, but to be really like a kind of a horizontal thing where people really like a social network where people really create together.
Mm-hmm. And, developers?
Sorry?
Do you have developers?
No, we've been doing it ourselves. That's the thing. Like we don't have funding. Like we have no funding. We've just been doing it out of love and out of doing. Yeah, we've been doing it out of feeling that it's a necessity, and kind of also just to kind of connect, kind of archive all different places that we want to connect and kind of make it visible for our friends and anybody who's interested. But like, yeah, we are like at the moment we're at the crossroads where we need to kind of have funding to be able to like or find some way to kind of take it to the next level in terms of programming, and especially on because especially for like an app to work as an app and to kind of make it really nice and intuitive. And I mean, most people use on mobiles these days, and on the mobile it works, but it's like, yeah, it's not there. And we were really inspired by Radio Garden. I don't know if you're familiar with Radio Garden.
Are you in our Telegram channel?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, maybe you can drop some links.
Yeah, I can do it later.
Or maybe someone else will, but yeah.
There's radio. Radio.
Yeah, that one. I love Radio Garden. Radio Garden is that the one where you can listen to radio all over the world?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And there's also Radio, which is like a history of all the music from all the different decades. This radio one, just radio with a lot of O's at the end.
Four O's.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like, they've just upgraded recently.
The one that you, they will listen sometime. Is this map that you can decide to listen to radio in Korea in the 40s?
Yeah. That's Radio Garden. But what's radio with four O's?
Radio Garden is the live digital radio. And radio.
Oh, no way. So you can broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Is that what you mean, Peter?
Maybe I can show you quickly since we're not talking about it. Radio. But yeah, I'm talking about this one in particular because it's just the app is so good now for the phone and just it's so much fun. And if you could like travel by like also by listening to music at the same time and connect with people in this kind of fun way, it's how the vision for the radio of Symbios Fera is that the radio eventually becomes like this really nice kind of player with a huge amount of music, and you can just like search the world and play different songs or just shuffle it and get this like really nice intuitive like enjoyable connection to what you're listening to. And this is kind of a point I wanted to bring up as well, was that like about 3 years ago I stopped researching music. I spent the first 15 years of my since the age of 14 I've just been devouring music, like consuming and just like anything I could find, just downloading albums by albums, maybe spending 8 hours just devouring different music, like music from around the world and music in general, and just threw myself into it, and I've always putting out mixes, always playing, and about 3 years ago I kind of 2 years ago, I just started to lose the love of it somehow, of this mode of researching music. And I wasn't being fulfilled by it. It didn't feel grounded. It didn't feel good anymore. I just, even though the music was like, not that was, there was no more good music being made. I know there's so much good music out there, but the way that I was engaging with it was, for me, wasn't healthy. And I just decided I would just stop digging. I would stop digging music because it's, I didn't connect with this, just like consuming and downloading and just having no real connection from what I'm downloading. I basically just stopped researching new music. And it was really, for me, a really new thing after 15 years just devouring music and consuming it. And since then, I've been appreciating sites like Audiomapa and radio.org. This is not working because it's Safari, because it's...
Maybe it's Orgo.
And since then, I've been appreciating radio because it's kind of, it's more real. It's like live. It's someone, a human behind it. It's not just an algorithm. It's somehow kind of circumstantial, kind of spontaneous, like serendipitous to hear music in this way. And I've been enjoying live music a lot more, and not really so after recorded music so much, but like about real things that are connected. Like the music I love today is about what our friends are making, what our friends are doing, and hearing music live and hearing music connected to good projects. And I don't have this same drive to find new crazy new music, because even if it's amazing new music, music isn't just what you hear, it's everything that's around it. Like the Funky Tomato, it's not just the music itself, but it's just everything around it. It's the whole thing that makes the music for me, man. For me, music is not just audio. It's music is life, and music is like
connectedness.
The intention. I guess the intention behind it, and the connection between what we use it together and how it's presented. And I always give this analogy of like origami. The Japanese, they just love presentation, because for them, like, they spend like more time with the presentation than they do buying the gift, because for them, the presentation is as important as what the actual art is and what the actual gift is, because it's like, and for me, I see Spotify, and I don't want to like hammer on Spotify, but like it's the presentation is an algorithm and a very like a generic thing where each track you see a bit of artwork, but you don't really look at the artwork so much. And the presentation is like very, very dull and like uncommunicative. And brain numbing somehow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one comment I have for that, sorry. This is the idea of, I mean, the one thing is the consuming music and then consuming music as a producer. So one of the inspirations I get from you is even like, is there a way to give something back? Like, this is what Symbiosis is offering me as an invitation. Is there a way to give back to something? And yeah, around this idea, another speaker in the States, Eric Baudelaire, friend of Virginia, is making a project. Maybe you'd like to just share the idea of that you can give back to the source of where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's more fun, or it feels more healthy, or it feels more grounded to, if you're producing music and you're just not only taking the tracks and from the water sounds from somewhere, but you find a way to let energy travel through this connection that you're establishing with.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a kind of feedback mirror between the musician who's being inspired by the nature and the nature. Like the more you give to the nature, the more kind of you amplify it, the more, like with this project in Brazil, like this it's like a Bandcamp website, Bandcamp label, it's for free or donation. It's not just like, okay, here's €2 versus like €2 to like download or a fixed price, but like shifting into like a supporting economy where it's not just paying for a subscription or paying for a download, but you're making the listener, instead of being like a consumer of the music, they become a supporter. Mm-hmm. And it creates a shift in the thought pattern of like, okay, I don't just like pay my money and get what I want to get, but actually stop and think, okay, how much value does this actually have? Does this music have, and how much value does this project have? And it just creates a shift in the thinking of from consumer to supporter, like you said. And I think this is really the key as well, of shifting the consumer mindset to more interactive and collaborative interaction. And I think that like once we like, and in this case, like the more money that comes into the project, the more money can be, the money is used to like amplify the permaculture project or the reforestation project. So then nature becomes even more beautiful, and then the musicians get even more inspired. So it's like this kind of like feedback loop of like,
nice feedback loop.
Where
the birds, and more birds.
Yeah, come more birds, nicer bird sounds. More water. Like where we live is really in the balance of like, when it's a dry season, there's like no waterfalls.
Yeah.
And when there's
actually,
like, I can take
on the lines of let's say regenerative feedbacks. I mean, I see, as I said before, I think really like music and food are really vectors and to carry a lot, and but not and like. You've been exploring this idea of like the soundscape, this maps that you showed before, where you can connect more with the environment. And but I really like this idea that music is actually, and especially music in this way, like Symbiosfera is suggesting, is also a way to regenerate generations. And namely, people that goes, you've been like tracing a little bit your discontent on how you were consuming and producing music as a mostly urban grown person or like Western grown up person, right?
Yeah.
But then you see that, for instance, music can be a vector in the way that when you go to rural places, often very interesting, let's say more traditional ways of making music, in the sense of actual sounds, of actual rhythms, but also actual rituals that are around this music, that is way different from the urban way of doing music and consuming music. And I think when people discover this, they are attracted to go and visit these places and also connect much deeper in that way, because music doesn't lie. Music is not something that you can, let's say, you cannot fake the vibe with the music. Right. You know? Like it or not like it, it resonates or it doesn't resonate, right? So on the other way back, people that lives in that rural area and see you come there with this amazing techno gear loop station, they're freaking amazed to like play with this shit, you know, like they really like can wait to have somebody to come there to play with this stuff as well. So I think it's a two-way relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's, I've been seeing this happening a lot, and I feel this is extremely interesting. So it's not connecting only with the environment, but also across generation and across epoch, across eras, you know, in the industries at different places. Of course, food, you can also then put food in between. There's we were actually about to host Vanessa Lorenzo, which is a Basque bio artist, to do a mossy later. In the place we live, it's called Moss, which is not moss the plant, but it's a different type of moss. But there is basically this possibility of playing plants or with plants.
Yeah,
so nice. with the sort of galvanic sensor. Now I'm not really an expert of those, but maybe you are.
Yeah, MIDI spread. This is what my friends in Norway are doing actually.
Yeah,
they're actually working with a thing called MIDI spread, where they put sensors on the plants.
Yeah,
they transfer it to MIDI and they create like ambient music with. Yeah, it's a really nice project. It's organic structure. He has some recordings here.
Yeah,
but it's exactly this you're saying. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's connect it more. I hope this can also be a call for people that want to engage in open source projects and meaningful projects, especially developers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when we're coming to like end this very most beautiful session, and the next session is not in the program, but it's just like a little conversation of making sense of all the conversations that we had. But before that, I was thinking maybe we can make some Eigenklang, you know, make some sounds together.
Yeah.
including the ones that are listening, you know, make some sounds at home.
Yeah, I'm afraid of little impromptu Eigenklang.
Maybe I can do the new voice chat feature in the Telegram group and then pass the audio here if you give me 1 minute.
Let's do it.
Got it.
Peter, do you want to tell us how the vision started from Symbiosfera? Is there it's a seed or sometimes it's an immediate vision or
I guess it was like a kind of a combination of many different seeds that kind of formed together and I don't know, it just kind of I started off with this talk about my daughter and having not being able to like find a project that I resonated with musically to kind of spend in a community. So this is really one seed, but the other one was really a platform for the project I had in Brazil, the symbiosis between the music studio and the land studio.
Yeah.
Really having this revelation that like, of course, if music is in symbiosis with nature, then beautiful things can happen. And this was really like, I really wanted to create a platform for this to exist. And I just couldn't find anything that was existing. So it was really like really like connecting with this symbiosphere, which means like the atmosphere of symbiosis.
Mm.
And I've always like musically, I've just been like, I started off making like techno music and very fast music. And like, as the years gone on, I'm just becoming more and more ambient and more tuning into subtler sounds and tuning into silence.
Mm.
And so it's just become a natural progression to kind of, to tune into like once I started to kind of really tune, bring my like hyper-stimulated like mind, which I was thrust into the music sphere with so much stimulus from like, computers, from TV, from advertisements, from like music and culture that I couldn't quite my mind to like really make ambient music. So my whole life I wanted to be an ambient producer, but I was never able to bring my awareness down quite enough to be able to like really relax into ambience. Mm. It's only in this time, in this year now, that we're like, there's no festivals happening. There's no culture happening, that like a lot of musicians are becoming ambient producers because it's like, because they're able to, they're not thinking about the dance floor anymore. They're just like, it makes sense just to play to your surroundings. And it's really, I think it's really real blessing that this is happening, because I really feel the more ambient, not exactly, it doesn't have to be ambient, but like it can be like ambient, like touch to rock music, ambient touch to electronic music. Mm-hmm. But if everything just has like a slight more touch of ambience, then the levels go down, the compression goes down, and the dynamics become increased, and the awareness becomes increased. Music has this amazing feedback of,
absolutely. I'm seeing so much how the different shades, the different expressions of the ambience and the beats and the vibe are creating and shaping so much the vibe. I see how sometimes in a gathering of people, or when there is a vibe which is still enough, or which is allowing what is asking to sprout out, to sprout out and come. It's something very fascinating and touching to see this thinness and the vibe that gets richer and richer and richer, and it's a very it has been a very intense revelation for me how we are playing in this field of very subtle form of interactions, and when there is a fertile soil which can be created by also music, also vibration, also a container that allow those connections, those dances to happen. Big thank you to vibration, to ambience music, to what is coming, to you for sharing the story of Symbiosfera and your openness to share the full story, and the call for contributors, for developers, for more communities that want to be there on the map, to share their sounds, their voices, their music, their healing spaces. Here we have any more lovely being. Meanwhile,
And thank you so much for creating this space as well. It's really, really nice to connect as well.
The Telegram group is feeding into the stream, so we're not gonna hear it here on Zoom. But I think it's streaming directly inside the streaming, I guess.
So we're gonna do an eigenclang now.
I'm not liable or responsible if people will stream Gemma, not approved Gemma tracks or whatever else. But yeah, maybe we can do, what's the name in German? What is this practice of making noise together?
Eigenklang.
Eigenklang.
So what do we have here? We have two cups.
Christmas themed Eigenklang. Oh.
Regenerate. Regenerate.
Yeah, this is the beauty of Viking clans. When we ever do these things, you start to like really explore the environment and see what you see, like what do we got, like what makes sound. What
sounds are around.
Yeah, you just start exploring and like turn on the Hoover, you know, just like just see what's there, see what makes noise, interact with sound, like see what, like if you're in nature, just like what rustles, what like what's already there. Bring a microphone to, if there's a beehive, bring a microphone to a beehive, you know, and just explore what's around you.
Yeah.
And this is like a nice kind of little, like a little mini insight into what Viking clan can be.
Music is a format from which to explore.
So when are you back in Berlin?
Good question. Yeah, you guys are in, you have a little studio right above Moose, right?
Yeah, it's more like our house, but that's a studio. I like the studio mode.
It's becoming more and more studio.
It's there now?
Are you there now?
It's a big A, yeah.
Man, right. Well, it looks like you're in a...
It's more than a big A.
And the artwork behind you, this is Rome? No.
This one?
Oh, this is a backdrop. It's not actually, this is an actual, okay. All right. Next time in Berlin, good question. Maybe next time we go north. These days, we just kind of, currently I'm going south because it's
cold.
The next time we go north, which is probably in the warmer days, that will probably pass by Berlin and it'll be amazing to connect then. In person and do a little talk again.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
we'd love to set up the Eigenklang setup for our New Year's Eve, you know, or whatever.
With Megan.
You
can just get a field recorder and a headphone splitter and maybe a looper.
You don't need so much. It's not so high tech.
Real fun.
I think so.
But you're kind of traveling, you're kind of planning a caravan, kind of Eigenklang caravan.
Yeah, bring the tamura.
The party. Woo!
Welcome to the very, very last session of our 4-day streams, Placemaking the Solar Punk, with us live in the studio. Welcome, Henny.
That's me.
Woo!
Live from London, Phoebe.
Hi.
Right next to me, Otman. Live from Jakarta, Saraswati.
Yeah.
In yellow today, Chris.
like orange.
And
on my left, Jakob.
Yeah.
And the very master of disaster, Uja Samova.
Uja.
Thank you, Eugene.
Solo Eugene.
Organize the whole thing.
You're welcome to stay live with us for the closing session. You put the vibes in us, that's for sure. The idea is that we had 4 days of conversations and we just want to share reflections or share moments that that touched us. And I will start with the first story. And in the morning of today, I was watching Solarpunk Girls session. And I was just sitting here being live on stream. And then I was in a bit of a, Solarpunk Girls started with the meditation. So I was sitting in my meditation pose and then Uji came by and he brought a paper that said, look on the candle till you start to cry. And he put a candle here and made me stare at the candle. So I was like, this was my morning meditation. It was a very focused moment.
I was wondering.
It was so funny. I didn't see you there until at the end. It's like, oh, hey. We should have made a reference to you as like some kind of being from the future. It's like wordless knowledge.
These sessions are so, for me, just so interwoven, right? I mean, like there was Michael Bounds talking about we need to mutualize all the infrastructure, and then it's like Peter Power is presenting a whole map where you like building a new culture and you see like all the different projects that can like be part of that, or like even the whole Solarpunk governance ways of making governance decisions with the birds, like can be part of some, you know, new culture map, like that. And the other highlight for me was the hologram session. It felt so powerful. How was it for you?
Yeah, actually, I think I was so blown away by the hologram project that I was having trouble to make words about it. Like, it's so meaningful and so wonderful. I mean, used to being like having, I don't know, like maybe there's a nice project, but it's missing something and it seems to be like pretty complete. So I was a bit floored by how wonderful it was. It's shocking to just feel, wow, this is great. And I'm hoping to see all of us there together supporting each other in a hologram of some sort. What about for you?
Yeah, I found Cassie to be so generous with her time. She just wanted the support. She just wanted to spread it, not as a leader, but as the steward. And like, that's so much like what her practice is, right? Yeah. She's like, if anybody wants to do it, I'll help facilitate it. Like, she has a million things to be doing. She's written a book, but she's here offering like facilitation to anybody who turns up on the internet, basically. A bunch of randomers who enjoy her work. So I just think that like she really walks the walk in this practice. And you can tell by like the diligence in her research, like how she brings it. So the fact that like this was brought in to this very solarpunk placemaking narrative, I think it fits really well. And I'm just really happy to have had a chance to be a part of it. I didn't really know much about it until Jakob, Hani, and Yuji were like, you're going to interview Cassie. I was like, oh, great. Okay. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to interrupt there, but we actually have delayed our community meeting to do this talk.
your bacterial what was that, Phoebe, this morning? The bacterial
council is starting. That's how I do my exit.
But
thanks for your time, Peter.
Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, sorry we have to duck out, but yeah, we've yeah, just jumping into this meeting, another meeting now.
But, tell them we say hello.
Yeah,
we love meetings.
But has this all been recorded or?
Yes.
I'm really curious to the other talks. Like I just caught the end of the hologram one and I was really curious.
Actually, they're being uploaded automatically in a sort of crappy way. And then, and then in a few days, we will have the proper one online, like nicely polished and shit.
Okay.
Nice. If you want to share it, and if you want to watch it, you can watch the crappy one. If you want to share it, I would suggest you wait a couple of days.
Yeah, sweet. Nice. Well, thank you so much.
You said pizza.
I'm glad to have this continues. All right.
Thank you.
Wow. Ciao, ciao.
Farewell. Ciao, ciao.
Wow.
Yeah, one thing that touched me was to see the dedication, the commitment for making it happen from everyone involved in it. In first navigating all the organizational thing and configuring the broadcasting, and thank to LG who put so much love and care in this. And yeah, seeing how such a nourishing space and virtual space. It was the first time for everyone organizing it like this, run just by love, by people who want to, that feel that is the thing they want to do too.
And pancakes.
And pancakes, by love and pancakes. Yeah, the true guiding energies.
Where's Yuji?
Hmm?
Bring Yuji into this, into the screen.
I feel what isn't evident in the main feed.
Yeah, let's smoke the cigar.
Is the amount of care behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like when I joined the room and finished the live thing, Yuji was there to like introduce us, check everybody, make everybody feel comfortable, count you down, okay, you're live. Like,
yeah, it was nice.
Really well. And that's like reflected in what people bring to the main feed, but it was all that little subtle work behind us.
I want to thank Le Vishnu from Creature Work. He gave us this opportunity to do the stage this year, and he's been under so much fucking work for this Congress. Like coordinating the graphics, the website, the like so many things. And the Congress is really made by this, you know, people that they just say yes to this crazy opportunity, not really knowing what it entails. But I would say after all, it was fun. And it was so nice to see you all be part and contributing. And supporting and also people that didn't like participate maybe in the program but they were there. I want to thank Basim also, Azindi, for helping me the first day to set up OBS and to kind of inject some salon vibe in the, you know, it's like I'm just learning from great hosts like Chris, like Phoebe also, and yeah, I think like people that can really hold a space for guests to be there or for a content to be channeled, that's really good stuff. And
just come sit down.
Yes.
So
yeah, thank you very much. I really couldn't hold space for guests at all. But after like 3-4 sessions, you know, you're having fun like right now.
Yeah, it happens.
Miri, come.
On the speakers.
Hey.
Next time we bring
more
chair.
My gosh, it's a whole squad. So now we talk about squad.
Ollie, this is your room, by the way.
Getting some drink for you.
It's a portal, your room. You see how much beauty is creating.
What is ownership, anyway?
Exactly.
I can say like closing remarks that Phoebe and I were talking earlier after the meditation, we were both just like reflecting, like I could feel like the heartfulness of this from all the way in Jakarta. And it's crazy after like such a rough year to have so many people come in and just like heart explode everywhere and speak to like what, like the world they really want in like the whole shape of it, which is coming from the future, and like dreaming from that future, is just so resonant and really aligning, you know, after like this rough, like weird, choppy time, like around the world. It's so cool to have people land at the end of the year there, you know. So nicely done. Really nicely done.
Yeah, I was so grateful. I called Saraswati and I was like, oh my gosh, I just like, I need to be reminded all the time of doing things I love. And yeah, thanks for creating this. I would not have done anything remotely like creative in these like 3 days if it wasn't for you. So massive thank you. Great way to end the year.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's something that feels like a beginning as well. And I mean, it's also interesting to go into this, like, something that seems very private, but is very public, you know? And then, I mean, how do you deal with the kind of limitations of having you guys very, very far away, but also, you know, like, tapping in there? So, like, a bit of the energy of the beginning was there, like, hey, there's, like, this was just like such a little chunk of friends that we were bringing in, but already like the energy that this was generating and the projects that are around us and that we want to support are so huge. And so how do we continue with the energy built in here? And yeah, one of the questions that just came up to my mind, so Phoebe, you said you were doing a lot of like reflection and Penny, you were doing some reflection practices too. So anybody feel like, you know, now that we are like having drinks here, sharing some announcements with us?
What's the question?
This is a Jacob kind of question. It's like
in the chat, you and you had posted a series of questions for reflection at in the end of the year to look back and to look forward, basically. And I did a writing session. Yeah, and I think it's really nice to take a moment to break through the year and see what comes up in the hands, like that's valuable, that you want to bring into the new year with you, and maybe some stuff you can just put away for a while. Yeah.
Break through is a nice.
It's a very good metaphor.
Yeah.
Zen life.
Break through
the sound garden of your year. Gently.
Break through the sound garden of your year. Yeah. From break down to breakthrough. Yeah.
You know, the reason I was asking, you know, we had this idea of making a session about squats.
And yeah.
We're kind of like the meta squat session, like just showing what is a squat and how a squat feels and how a squat talks, right? So, I mean, if you have any other ideas of like explaining the squat, I mean.
Yeah, or if you know anywhere we can pay for burritos with vibes.
Yeah. Vibe tokens.
Yeah, the vibe got a lot of energy as well, right? Like Peter Power's idea of like, I don't want to consume vibes, I want to create vibes, but I want to co-create vibes. But you know,
this was the hologram teachings too, right? It's not the taking, it's actually a giving. It's actually,
it's giving and letting circulate. It's staying and then passing and going and maybe coming back to another person.
Yeah, that's right.
Another form.
I like that Sarah video sometimes like disappear for like 5 seconds and then
leave a flower.
Like, what's going on there?
So that's when she's checking.
She's
checking
Facebook. It's good to know.
She's lost attention. There she goes.
Yeah. Let's
I mean, it's nice to think about like this taking a shape I don't know if this is a reflection. It's maybe a reflection, but it's nice to think about the shape this can take, you know, like now that we've realized that there's all of this incredible energy that Yuji has been the shepherd and summoner of, it's really cool to like begin to think about how it might grow and what it could become and how we can also like contribute to all of these incredible projects and be really integrative, you know, with so much creativity and like, yeah. So that's nice to reflect on.
Yeah, it feels so fertile. Everything feels much closer from inviting all of this amazing creative energy in and seeing the power of curating and like you said, Otho, kind of like unblocking the energy flows between the ecosystem of people, projects, land. And I think that's definitely what we need more of. Like, we all need to contribute to the collective healing of the world in some form. And that doesn't mean we all need to be shamans, but there's plenty of different ways in order to help circulate that energy. And absolutely. I've really experienced that these days.
Absolutely.
The ecology.
Yeah. Regenerative sysadmin.
That's your new title.
I mean, that's a form of transcending.
So I love it.
Absolutely, Chris. Yeah. I feel we need more of coming together and asking when we need support for a project, or just asking. Mm-hmm. And when you ask, it's reverberating to the network. And yeah. Just coming closer and allow these parts of us that want to flourish and connect to just find our way out, like a seed. When sometimes, you know, I love how when you plant a seed and it's under the earth, so the earth is pretty compact in the seed, and in that situation the seed find the power to the strength to go through the earth and reach the sun. So sometimes when there is also not the perfect situation for allowing something to flourish, but maybe that's creating pressure that can be transformed into something, something nourishing, even if it's pressure.
Eugene, nourishing pressure at the moment.
Do I? Have I been pressing you?
No. Have you not been under pressure?
I've been. But I also felt that I was like pushing you to do something you didn't want to, or you didn't.
No, because like you gave people such, like it was with such care. I think you asked me like 5 times. You're like, "Are you going to give a talk?" I was like, "I'll try." You're like, "Are you going to give a talk?" I was like, "No." It turns out I don't have the time. You're like, "What about if I just play one of your videos and ask for Q&As?" I was like, "I don't know." You're like, "What about moderating?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll do that."
I actually pushed you
into a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, me too, Yuji. I didn't feel pushed. I felt like persistently invited, which is a very different thing. I woke up this morning literally not knowing what we were gonna do, and I had not talked at all to my two other speakers, and it was great. And I think it's because of the magic field you created.
Absolutely, persistently welcomed.
I hope it's persistently consensual as well.
No, I just said no. But then I showed up anyway. Yay.
But
come on, you spent one night, like almost an entire night with Chris and I to try to set up this fucking 2D world, and then saying, okay, just whatever. That was a good
concept for next time. You guys don't know the solar punk theme we have in store for next time.
Yeah. We have an entire map that is not there. People didn't play with it, but it's in our mind.
Solar camp.
Solar camp.
Oh my God, Solar Camp 2021. That's exciting. Was that the world that we explored, Yuji?
Yeah.
But
we couldn't. No, the one we explored was the Bitwasher Adiacteria Lab.
Okay.
Network.
Yeah, thanks to Mark for actually spending this time showing us through that.
Yeah, thanks to Mark and Acteria and Bitvashirai and our sister Gemini channel. And Mark this morning made me notice that, not to be too proud, but like he was showing a screenshot of the agenda and would say, actually, out of 16 assembly channels, we are just really very few that are making so much content all the time.
And so I didn't notice that if you didn't point it to it. Wow, I was like, wow, really? So I invite the other assembly to do more content or, I don't know, just make it more open and more, I don't know, international, let's say. This year was a great opportunity to make it, to connect with hackerspaces, you know, from Japan to Taiwan to Mexico. We tried to do that as well, and Akhtiri, a bit to Ashirai, also tried to do that. I wish maybe in the next Congress that could be much more diversity also in the identity, in the representation of the actual assemblies, the channel, like more increasingly, let's say. So every year more. This year was good.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye. Is it deep fake?
This is not a cigar.
Just
so maybe we can celebrate the fact that we could smoke in by smoking a cigar. What do you think?
That makes sense.
Well, with this nonsense.
Any interaction with our chat? What's the chat saying? Close it now.
I think they went to sleep, everybody. Yeah, there is Dominic. Hello, Dominic. Hello. Alias and Jens and Emme and Andor and Swat and everybody that participated in the chat with nice and inspiring conversation. Martin, Valentin, Abrarakur Chicks, and everybody else. Goodbye. Yes. See you next year.
Ciao.
Hello. No.